Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, Philip opened his mouth and beginning with the scripture, he told the Ethiopian eunuch the good news about Jesus. Dear friends of Christ, you know, our text this morning kind of always gives me a touch of envy because an angel appeared to Philip and told him what to do. Now, I think that would be pretty cool, but an angel's never appeared to me and told me what to do. So, you know, but that's exactly what happened to Philip. The angel ordered him to leave the northern regions of Israel. And, you know, so you have the Sea of Galilee. It's way up here. And so he had to go way up here all the way down past the Sea of Galilee, past the Jordan River, past the Dead Sea, down into the regions where it's desert to the south. And I want you to go there and tell people about Jesus. And there he found a man riding in a chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and the guy didn't understand, so he needed Philip to help him understand, right? So Philip began to teach, and he explained our need, our sin, and he explained our need for a Savior, and he explained the cross and the empty tomb, and explained that it's all about Jesus and how important all that is. Yep, this text makes me a little envious because an angel doesn't tell me what to do, but it'd be pretty cool, I think, if the angel, an angel would show up and say, Pastor Caldwell, why don't you go to Menards? There's somebody who's ready to hear the gospel. And they're ready, they're willing. And so I go to Menards, I get out my shopping cart, and I go, and the angel says, there he is. And I say, okay. And I start to talk, and they say, who is this Jesus? Can you tell me more? I'd like to know more about him. And then they start asking the questions, and I start giving them all the answers, and they say, I believe I want to be baptized. I say, wow, that was fun. But that's not the way it is. That's not how it works for us. Instead, we wake up in the morning, we kind of stumble out of bed, we get our cup of coffee, and we don't know who to talk to. We don't know who's ready. We don't know who's going to listen. We know they need to listen. We know they need to be ready. We have a message that's so very important, and they don't think it's important. They're lost. They're like the branches that are going to be cast into the fire and burned for all eternity, and they need to be saved. And so telling people about Jesus comes with all kinds of surprises. You never know what's going to happen as soon as you bring up the topic of Jesus with somebody. It could be met with complete rejection. But I find that most of the time, people are willing to listen until you bring up the topic of sin. And as soon as I start talking about, you know, sin and repentance, that's when they kind of seem to check out. But having said that, our theme for today, tell people about Christ's resurrection. It's Easter. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so we tell the message. And so here, five Sundays after the resurrection celebration of Easter, we're talking about that, connecting people to Jesus. He's the vine, we're the branch, you can't produce fruit unless you're connected. It's important that we're connected. And angels don't show us what to do. They don't tell us what to do, but the orders are the same. Jesus wants us to talk to people. Jesus wants us to tell people about Jesus. Tell our friends about Jesus. Tell our co-workers about Jesus. Tell our family about Jesus. And God even promises that He's going to give us the right words to say. People say, well, I would, but I'm really concerned about what to say. And the Bible says this, do not be worried about what you're going to say to defend yourself, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Okay, so I'll step out, I'll trust in the Lord to help me. I'll trust in God. Jesus knows we need help. And that's why before he ascended into heaven, he said, go to people everywhere, make them my disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I'll always be with you to the very end of the age. And Philip, that's what he did. He went out and he taught the Ethiopian eunuch all about Jesus. You know, Jesus knows who you need to tell. You're part of His plan. And Jesus knew who Philip needed to tell as well. The Ethiopian eunuch was part of His plan. And Philip had been preaching in Samaria, that northern region which had had a tradition and a reputation of being a land of darkness. These were stubborn people throughout the history of Israel. These are the people who rejected the message of God. They weren't willing to listen. They weren't willing to learn. They weren't willing to change or repent. They were stubborn, stuck in their sin. A land of darkness. And yet, the world was ready. Times they were a-changing. And so Philip goes up to the north, and it's his job to spread the gospel, to spread the message of the resurrection, and everybody's listening. The church is growing. People are being baptized. People are turning away from their sins and turning to Jesus because the hearts were ready and things were going well in Samaria. Large numbers being baptized, coming to faith. Receptive and growing. That's when the angel stepped up and told Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Again, I've never had an angel tell me what to do, but maybe I wouldn't like it if he did. Because Philip had been doing all kinds of ministry work, and then the angel tells him, go make a long trip, drop what you're doing, and go make a long trip to the south. Why would God stop a successful mission trip? Why would He intervene? What's all the successful things that are happening in the north? But God had a plan. God was getting ready to send His gospel through a guy who would then take it, that message of Christ is living, the resurrected Christ, to all the northern region of Africa. A whole new part of the world would grow in Christ because of one man. This Ethiopian eunuch would be the source. And he learned about Jesus, and he was baptized by Philip, and he said, I believe, and he learned. And the eunuch went and he told everybody about Jesus, and the church in Africa, northern Africa, exploded. Matter of fact, the church is still, a Christian church is still there today. It's called the Coptic Church. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, Philip was told to go, and he obeyed. The Lord told him to go. He packed his things. He was obedient. He was submissive. I want you to tell. I want you to talk. And so he did. No matter the cost. He had a mission. Tell people about the resurrection. Tell people Jesus lives and what that means. And Jesus has told us, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who understand what they're supposed to do and then do it. And God says, you're part of the vine. Bear much fruit. Go and tell. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let people know. And those who are obedient are blessed. Well, Philip found that out, the blessings. God had great plans for the day. Great plans for the officer of the Queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of her treasury. So this was an important guy. He had a fancy chariot and with a big, large entourage around him. They all were dressed in fancy clothes, and Philip knew immediately when he saw him, God's going to use this guy. This is an important guy, very important person. And God knew it too. That's why God was calling him to hear, to learn, to be part of the mission, to be part of the family of God, to be a vine connected to Jesus, who would do much good work and tell and talk and share. He was also a VRP, a very religious person. Very religious people don't know about Jesus, not always. Some people can be very religious and they believe in spirits and they believe in all kinds of very religious things, but they don't believe in Jesus. This guy, well, apparently he was Jewish, because he'd go to Jerusalem on a regular basis to go to the temple to make sacrifices to the Lord, and he was familiar with the Old Testament history, he was familiar with all the Old Testament ways. And he had traveled over 600 miles across the desert to get to Jerusalem. So it was important to him to be there. We also know he's quite wealthy because he had purchased a scroll, a Bible, right? But back then, those Bibles rolled up, and he bought the book of Isaiah. That's not cheap back in those days. If you had a scroll, you were rich. And he was reading from that scroll. He opened it and read from the prophet Isaiah. Now, he understood Yahweh. He understood the Old Testament history. He knew that there would be a Messiah, but he didn't know that the Messiah had already been born and come. He didn't know about the Messiah. He didn't know anything about Jesus. He didn't know about his birth, didn't know about his miracles, didn't know about his suffering and death. He didn't know about the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit was ready to fix all that, so the Holy Spirit talks to Philip and says, I got somebody for you. Go over and join this chariot. Go over, climb up into the chariot, and start talking to the guy. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? Unless somebody guides me. Do you understand? And the man said, how can I? Have you ever tried to read the Bible and understand it? People say, I don't read the Bible, I don't understand it. How can I? Unless somebody tells me. I need somebody to guide me. Those words preach 100 sermons that should speak directly to our hearts. I need someone to guide me. Our children? Do our children know about Jesus? Do they know how to read the Bible and understand it? They need someone to guide them. No, they don't. Instead, they say, no, I don't understand it. I need a mom who cares. I need a dad who cares. I need Sunday school teachers to guide me. I need midweek school teachers to guide me. I need VBS teachers to guide me. I need parochial school teachers to teach me. And we're all called into that mission. We're all called to open up our mouths to tell people about Jesus and the resurrection. The Ethiopian eunuch was learning, he was reading a prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way. That's what sin does, turns us away. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, like a sheep that's before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And of course, we read these words, we understand, right? It's all about Jesus. He suffered on the cross. He didn't say anything. He willingly, like a lamb, was slaughtered. Because we needed a Savior. We understand all that. Somebody has opened their mouth. Somebody has shared Jesus with us. Somebody's connected us to the vine, and we're bearing fruit. Because we're connected. We're the family of God. Someone's taught us. And we know Jesus is God. He bore our sins. He was punished that we might be set free from the curse of sin, from the curse of death, from the curse of the eternal fires of hell. Praise God. Praise God, we know. We're saved. We're delivered. Someone has told us. And guess what? Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to join the body of Christ, to join in the mission, to tell people about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what Philip did. The official said, well, I'd like to know who the prophet's talking about. Is he talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip opened up his mouth. Starting from this passage of Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. The Bible says Philip opened up his mouth. It's also simple. It's also simple, really. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. It all begins when we decide to faithfully learn God's word. Why? So that when somebody asks me a question, I can answer them and say, it's all about Jesus. And open up our mouths. Our kids say, I don't understand Jesus. I don't understand the Bible. I don't know Him. How can I? How can I unless somebody guides me? And being disciples of Christ, we're connected to the vine. We bear fruit. We tell people. You're part of God's salvation plan, and He needs you to tell your children. He needs you to tell your grandchildren. You're part of all that. We are connected to the vine. We are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ needs you. Here at First English, we need you. Open your mouth. You're part of the church to bear fruit, to help us teach. I need you. We need your voice. We need you to open up your mouths and say, yes, I'm willing to learn. Yes, I'm willing to go to Bible study. Yes, I'm willing to teach. I'm willing to open up my mouth to tell others about Jesus. Martin Luther called it vocation. Vocation is when we use our lives to glorify the Lord. No matter what you're doing is a vocation. You're changing diapers. Do it to the glory of God. Washing dishes. Cleaning the house. Running errands for your children. Do it for God. Do it in such a way that other people know that you're doing it differently and serving the Lord. And tell people about Jesus. It's a vocation. It's what we do. It's part of being connected to the vine. It's part of being the body of Christ. We're called to the mission. We're called to share the good news, to open up our mouths, to share the God's word with our children each night. Time to go to bed, what are we going to do? Open up God's word. Time to go to bed, what are we going to do? We're going to learn about Jesus. Time to go to bed, what are we going to do? Let's sing some hymns. Let's buy a hymnal. Let's teach our kids a few hymns. He said, oh, those kids can't learn those hymns. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. You teach those kids those hymns at that age, they love singing those hymns. They love talking about Jesus. Because even at that young age, that child becomes connected to the vine and starts bearing fruit. Do you know Jesus loves you? And they sing the beautiful hymns of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you all need to be Sunday school teachers or midweek school teachers. That's not the message of the sermon today. But we are all called to the mission. We're all called to share the good news with our families. And it might be sharing Jesus over a meal with your friends. It might be sharing Jesus over a cup of coffee with a coworker. But we're part of the plan. It's a message about Jesus. It's that of Isaiah 53. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Oh no! What way does that lead? It leads to eternal death. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And that's what Philip did. He told the Ethiopian eunuch, and he read from Isaiah 53, verse 11, after a life of suffering. Isaiah 53 is talking about who? Jesus. After a life of suffering, he will again have joy. After a life of pain, he will again have joy. He will know that he did not suffer in vain. It's all about Jesus. 650 years before his death, Isaiah prophesied the cross and the empty tomb. And the eunuch said, so that part about Jesus suffering, is that the cross? And Philip said, yeah, that's the cross. And the part of having joy again, is that the resurrection? Yes. You got it. Now I want you to read the next verse, Philip said. My devoted servant Jesus, with whom I am well pleased, will bear the punishment of many. And that's what Jesus has done for you. And that's what Jesus has done for me. That's the good news. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.